started to feel like I was like a little naive, thinking this was all gonna be so simple.
Oh, God. Hannah, this is gonna be a real mindfuck for me if you wanna get an abortion right now.
What?
I mean, I'll do it. I think there's about two doctors in America that will do it at this stage in your pregnancy, but I'll find them.
I'm not getting an abortion, Elijah. I'm having feelings. It's different. Jesus Christ.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Girls. We're just two boys watching HBO's Girls. We are your hosts. I'm Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking about episode 60. Oh, this is season 6, episode 8. It is titled, What Will We Do This Time About Adam? That title is so awkwardly worded.
It's so long and just like, it's a mouthful, and I don't know, it was a great tease for last episode, but.
Yeah, it was directed by Jesse Peretz, written by Judd Apatow and Lena Dunham. The original air date was April 2nd, 2017 to an audience of 765,000 people, 0.765 million. This is a big episode. There's a lot of stuff happening and then crazy shit.
You know what's funny is you can really tell when it's an Apatow episode, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you get a lot more couple-y stuff, a lot more walk and talks, a lot more of the, like, comedic feels, you know? You don't get...
Yeah.
And it's then, like, all the edges are smooth, you know?
And then, like, the bittersweet ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like his fucking thing. He loves bittersweet.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because it's such a... It works on its own, but it's such a contrast from the rest of what Girls is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so used to Girls being so, like, rugged and raw. And this is all, like, it's kind of sweet in moments. And you're like, is it too sweet? It's not, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about this episode.
It's gonna be. I do too. I'm curious to see what you think about certain parts.
Yeah, it's gonna be a wild one. So yeah, let's get into it. There is no Marty in this episode. We do have a Shoshana sighting. We have basically a Shoshana story, a Jessa story, and a Hannah story. Who do you want to start off with, Vance?
Well, we obviously have to save Hannah for last. Let's start out with our Shoshana Ray stuff.
Our Shoshana sighting. Finally.
Yeah. And it is just a sighting.
It is. She plays a bit role in her own story.
We were mentioning before how she's not really one of the girls, and Ray has taken up that mantle. And
yeah,
this episode kind of solidifies that.
Yeah, Ray definitely has pushed Shoshana out of the girls. Girls.
Yeah, she's. Yeah.
So their story starts off with Ray and Shoshana going to some company to digitize Hermes recordings, which we do get an idea of what they were about. We were a little confused about, like, what the fuck is this? Apparently, it's just him interviewing a lot of the elderly residents of Brooklyn about gentrification and how it's affected them and what life was like back in the day and blah blah blah. To that end, I don't know what it's for. It's not like Hermes a journalist or anything.
I feel like Ray's gonna end up podcasting.
Oh my God, Vance, he's gonna follow in our footsteps.
Yes. I mean, that's what it kind of was leaning. I don't know. I don't know what it seems like a creative outlet for him, but it doesn't seem like something that's going to be his, like, business plan. But,
yeah,
I mean, this is stuff he likes to do.
Yeah, it seems like a thing that he'd be interested in. And the joy that we saw on his face while listening to those interviews, he was like, oh, this is really cool. I really like what Hermie is doing and et cetera. So they're trying to digitize those to make it more convenient to listen to. And Shoshana has kind of like a, I don't know why the fuck we're doing this. Like, you just got left a coffee company and a bunch of properties. Like, why don't you just, like, chill? And why are you working on this? Who gives a fuck? And Ray's like, no, I have to carry on my mentor's legacy.
Yeah. And it's weird that Shoshana's saying this. I feel like she wouldn't. I mean, she's saying something that's rational, like, you know, focus on this, chill out for a minute. But I feel like he's going at her hard, like giving her the hard air quotes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
he's like, you don't get it.
Yeah. It's like, all right.
I don't think that the air quotes should have been used there, though.
They no, that really is not sense. How you use quotes. That is not how you use air quotes at all.
Yeah.
They use as they much were as so, I like yeah, Ray. It's interesting where we go with this.
Yeah. As much as I like Ray, that is just a horribly incorrect use of the air quotes. And if Shoshana had brought that up in her objections to the air quotes, that would have made a lot more sense. But she's like, just don't air quote me. I get it. He's like, no, you don't get it. So while they're having this argument, who should appear but our friend, you love her, you missed her, A.D. Bryant, Abigail, from Shoshana's old job where she worked in Japan.
Yep.
And she's like, hey, Shosh, I've been looking all over for you. It's like, no, you haven't. What? What are you talking about?
Well, she's like, what are you guys doing in my neighborhood? Are you here to rob me? Or like, or something? Like, it's like this weird. Like, it starts out so awkward where I'm like, this just needs to end.
Yeah. Well, I love that Shoshana, as A.D. Bryant's walking over, she gives Ray a warning, like, oh my God, this lady, she's super nice, she's super sweet, but she is way too much. She never turns it off. And I was like, oh, is this Shoshana hating someone that's a little bit like her, maybe?
I feel like, yeah, they're different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Abigail has less awareness, it seems, in previous episodes, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. In previous episodes. Yeah. So A.D. Bryant comes over. She's been trying to get in touch with Shoshana for some reason. I don't know why. She's like trying to hire her back or just wants to hang after that one time they hung out in Japan. Yeah. Who knows? But she's like, what are you guys up to? And Ray's like, oh, we're trying to digitize these interviews. And Shoshana's like, oh, she doesn't care about that. And she's like, I care the most about that. You mean to tell me that this place digitizes things and I had no fucking idea in my neighborhood?
I thought she was gonna buy the place after that. I was like, what? Instead she just goes on to talk about her grandfather's like recordings or something, or something mm-hmm. or something that she was listening to, and she's been playing it down and starting to wear down.
And she's worried about it. Yeah. So she's like, oh, this is a godsend. I can digitize it now.
And then Ray brings up his...
Yeah.
You go ahead. It's so good.
It's like he brings up a cartoon from his childhood that was his favorite cartoon. And is an old, obscure Russian cartoon where it's like a bowl of soup that doesn't have a father.
A bowl of borscht.
Yes, that's what it was. And it didn't have a father. And it was like the point of the cartoon was like, make the most out of every day and take the most that you can or some shit.
The quote that he said that stuck with him was from the cartoon was, Papa would be so hungry. And Shoshana looks at him and just says, that explains everything. Like... That is so, it's so obscure and random. I like love random humor like that. Just, it makes no sense, but it's so good.
Do you think that this cartoon exists? Like it's a real cartoon?
You know, I don't know. I'll definitely Google that and post it in the social media if I find it. That would be amazing.
Yeah, like, because that's what they decide to do. They go on a mission. A.D. Bryant's like, we gotta find this cartoon.
They say like, that. They say that, but they don't actually go looking for it.
No. Yeah. Where are they gonna go?
library, microfiche. I have no idea.
Just fucking pull out your phone and Google it. So instead of doing that, they go to brunch, it looks like, or some kind of early afternoon lunch type deal. And A.D. Bryant and Ray are really hitting it off. They're getting along, much to the chagrin of Shoshana. They're having drinks in the afternoon, and Shoshana's like, "What are you doing, Ray? You don't ever drink in the afternoon." And he's like, "Well, you know, I'm having a good time. I feel like it's cool to have a drink."
Does Ray not drink during the day? Because I don't believe this is a thing at all.
Yeah, I don't think that we've ever had that referenced before. I didn't know that was like a Ray thing.
I don't picture Ray not drinking during the day. Maybe as of late, but when he was hanging out with Charlie, he would definitely be brunching it up. Definitely just get hammered at a rooftop party in the summertime. Like, day drinking is where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't understand where that call out came from. She's like, "You never do that." It's like, that's not information that we've been privy to.
Yeah. But this is just a show that Ray is so different now. He just changed.
He's loosening up.
He just changed after Marnie.
Yeah. He's loosening up around Abigail. Yeah. And he's still reeling from the heartbreak that was Marnie Michaels.
I don't think he's reeling at all. He hasn't thought about her once since he left. He hasn't mentioned her at all. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen him since they broke up, have we?
No, maybe not. But still, like, he didn't bring it up, but like, he didn't bring it up at all. Like, he didn't mention her at all. Like, he only cares about Hermes and the stuff, you know?
Yeah. So they're hitting it off, and then A.D. Bryant's like, "Hey, I have a question for everyone. Would you rather live in a gorgeous building with a view of an ugly building, or live in an ugly building with a view of a gorgeous building?" And Ray's like, "Are you serious right now?" And she's like, "Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like a thought experiment question." He's like, "No, that's my question. I ask people that because it tells you everything you need to know about that person." And A.D. Bryant's like, "Yeah, I love this. Is my question too. I ask everybody that." And then as soon as they got the question asked, I was like, "Oh, gorgeous building with a view of an ugly building." Obviously. Mm. Yeah. That was my choice.
I hadn't really thought of it. I hadn't thought of it immediately. Like, I was like, "Oh, I want to think about this," but I was like, "I'll do it just after the episode," because it's a lot happening. And then Shoshana says it, you know, and she says, "Ugly building, gorgeous view." Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess I'm kind of lean. I could see that, you know. And then she just immediately clowned for that.
Oh yeah, A.D. Bryant and Ray, they do the like the get out. No.
They're like, "Oh, poor baby."
Yeah. And then they were like, "No, this is why you fucked up. You want the gorgeous building with the ugly view, because if you have an ugly building, it means that you have no foundation. You're just like looking at pretty." I don't remember why, but it was basically like, you have an ugly foundation and you don't care about it as long as you like look at pretty things, mm-hmm. as opposed to being a pretty thing and seeing whatever.
I will say with that question, it's tricky because it's so like having a horrible view is not great, but being in New York and some apartments, most of your views are pretty crappy to begin with. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Who fucking looks out the window?
Yeah.
Losers, nobody.
Yeah. No, you would always pick an apartment. I'm not even gonna go into that.
Go for it. Go into it. No, I'm not gonna dance.
I'm gonna let you.
No, do it.
No, I'll just
go. I lived in a basement my first 2 years living in, wait, no, no, 3 years living in New York. I had no view.
Oh, I lived in the basement. We had like two, I had two rooms in the basement of like a row house. Like, we had the first floor and the basement, and it was like four of us. And we had a backyard and like a front yard. It was awesome, but I was definitely in the backyard.
Sounds pretty rad.
Yeah, it was great.
I lived in a basement with like a fucking like 12-inch window that only looked at the walkway down to the basement.
Yeah. I could see how the question would make you jump to being like, "Oh, ugly place, good view." Like, because if you're thinking of it, like if you're going on vacation, you go to a hotel, like, do you want like the view? And you're like, "Okay, yeah, just give me the view and like the room. I don't care, you know, because I'm just going to be there." like the room doesn't have to be ecstatic because I don't plan to be in the room all the time. But when I'm there, I want to be able to see where I travel to. But when you're going to rent an apartment or buy a house, you look at the house and then the view is like this extra thing. You know, you don't even think about that first. You're not going to find the perfect house and go like, ugh, well, it just has an okay view. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, the way that she worded it was like, it's a view of an ugly building or a gorgeous building, I thought.
It was just gorgeous building, ugly view, or ugly view, gorgeous. Like, you know, just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, my logic was like, where would I want people to... Like, where would I not be embarrassed to have people over? Like, if I were to have friends over or something, I'd feel embarrassed to have them over in an ugly building. And then once they're... Once they're inside and I'm like, yeah, but look at the view. They'd be like, yeah, but who gives a fuck? Like, this place is garbage.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I would want more to be like, hey, isn't this apartment really nice? And they're like, oh, yeah, but the view's kind of... It's like, who cares? Close the blinds. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a valid thing. I just hate... You know what I hate? I hate in this episode, in this sequence, that we have Ray and Abigail bonding, but we do it at the expense of Shoshana. Which we don't need to do. We don't need to, like, make her seem like she's out of touch. Because they have a good relationship. Yeah. They could still be friends. And you could still like Abigail and bond with Abigail. Like, you don't have to bond with her in spite of Shoshana.
Yeah, exactly. Because once she does answer that answer, they do clown her, like, real hard.
Yeah.
And she's looking like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah.
And then the next time, she's not... She's, that's it.
Yeah.
That she's not in the episode anymore.
It's not like he was like choosing between which of the two girls he liked or anything. It was just like, yeah, you can hang out with Abigail. Like,
yeah,
Shoshana doesn't have to. She's tagging along. She's doing what Marnie wouldn't do. She came along to watch you digitize tapes for some reason. Like, yeah, I don't know. I just felt like they didn't need to do that to Shoshana.
Well, I mean, Shoshana is the like. It's just like the whipping boy of the show. Just like everything comes at her expense.
Yeah. And I mean, I can understand if people don't like Shoshana too as a character. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like in this situation, it just didn't need to go down like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now Shoshana's gone. Ray and Abigail are still hanging out. They're eating ice cream together and they're walking down the street. And I was like... I was expecting it to have like a slow pan over to Shoshana at some point, who is like 3 feet away from them. And they're like, buddy, buddy. But it never happened. But they're walking around eating ice cream. And basically they decide that this is an important project for Ray. And he wants to continue Hermes' legacy and keep interviewing people about gentrification and old Brooklyn, but he has social anxiety or something. And then Katie Bryant, Abigail is like, well, we need to practice that. Let's go. And then they start walking around and interviewing people about gentrification.
Well, I mean, they're just interviewing them about like what Brooklyn was like when they were growing up. It's not specifically gentrification, but then obviously it's there. And this was a scene that felt really Judd Apatow-y to me, you know? Like all this, like finding all these, like, I feel like we would have gotten more real New Yorkers in just a regular girls episode. Like these people are too put together and like saying like really nice, sweet things. And it's nobody just like cursing or like if you ever tried interviewing random people on the street in New York,
dude,
like you're not getting just like, oh, yeah, come sit. Let's talk a long time about stuff like.
Yeah.
It would be a grab bag of chaos. and that's what I was like, yeah, let's do that. And it's like, no, it's all flowery. It's all great.
Yeah, it's like old people talk about their loves and like, oh, I remember when we fought over that guy. Well, I actually got him. And the one lady's like, no, you didn't. And it's like funny, entertaining stuff.
I expected them to run into some people like the guy at the bar in the Jessica scene, you know? Like those type of people, like that's the edge, you know?
Yeah, that's real fucking New York.
Ask that guy what he liked about New York back in the day.
He's like, fucking nothing. Yeah. I could find a fucking prostitute easy.
Exactly. But yeah, it's cute. It's great. It's, yeah.
Yeah. So after that little quest, they're riding a carousel and they're like, you know what? This is a really fun day. And Ray was like, yeah, I really had a good time hanging out with you. She's like, me too. And then he's like, would you object if I kissed you? And she's like, not at all. And then they have like an incredibly weird kiss where Ray is like stretching across the distance between the ponies on the carousel. And
you know, and the merry-go-round thing, right? Is merry-go-round that too? Is that the same thing as the carousel? Are they the same?
I think it's the same.
Yeah, interchangeable terms. Yeah, and it's one of those cutesy, like he's trying to kiss her across from it. And yeah, it gets real rom-com-y there.
Yeah. And then they have like an extended, like awkward silence between them. And that's like what ends the episode. And I was like, what was that?
Oh, yeah, that is how the episode ends. Remember like that when Hermes dies, I was like, why do we end on Hermes' death and not like Hannah's news? On like they doubled up on the episode because it was like Hannah found out she was pregnant and Hermes dies. And it's like instead of tying like, ooh, life and death or whatever together, it's just like, oh, no, Hannah's sad close up of her in Elijah's lap. And then it's like, oh, wait, now we got to see Ray's discovery of death. And I'm like, why is Ray getting the last shot in episodes of Girls?
See, I don't mind like that Ray got the last shot here. What I did mind was like it went like 7 seconds too long. It was like, what was that supposed to be showing?
It definitely made it seem like they were like regretting the kiss because it lingered. Yeah. And I'm like, what am I supposed to, like, why is this a problem? Like,
yeah,
you're not dating anyone right now. I've been advocating that he gets out of the girl's circle, so I can't even be mad at this.
That's true.
What if they, instead of like, it would have been a weird edit, but if they would have cut to that last shot of Hannah, because we have a shot of Hannah and we start hearing the carousel music before this scene, if like that shot of Hannah was like after that, you know? At the end, I feel like, or maybe like half of us, a part of a scene where like you hear the carousel music lean into like Hannah coming home and getting in the bed or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that Hannah being in the bed would have been the better ending.
Yeah. It just,
like, this was just like,
I just didn't get what it was trying to say by lingering. Cause the kiss was great. The people in the background are like, oh, that's cute. That's good. Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it is supposed to, like, to me, when I saw it, it conveyed, like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. Like, why are we doing this? I don't really like you.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, wait, you don't? Like, you guys had a great day. Like,
yeah. Who knows? All right. So, Jess's story?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to have to stop it at a certain point.
No, we could just, yeah, we'll just jump. We'll just do all of Jess's stuff and stop, and then we'll tag that. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. So Jess's story starts off with Adam telling her that, like, hey, I know this is weird, but I feel like a responsibility that I need to help Hannah raise her baby, and I want to do it, and it is my duty to help her raise her baby, and I hope that you're not mad at me because of that. And she's like, I'm not mad at all. Which, you know, and then Adam's like, I know that you're mad. I know that you have something to say to me, so just say it. And she's like, no, I got nothing. If you feel like you need to do that, then do it. And then the rest of the episode.
No, you're missing a big part where she says, you don't have to, like, I shouldn't be mad at you. He's like, oh, hit me, do something. And then she's like, why? You didn't do anything wrong. And it, like, lingers on his face where he realizes that, because that's what he's been telling her about the whole Hannah thing. Like, oh, you didn't do anything wrong. And now she throws that back in his face. And it, like, has that close-up where it, like, hits him. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, it took me a minute to be like, oh, yeah, that's what that line is.
Okay, good catch, because I was writing a note while that was happening, and I heard him just be like, ha! And then it lingered on him for a bit, and I was like, Oh, I must have missed something, but yeah. I'm not going to rewind.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was I think that's what it was. It was that he's been saying that to her. And now, like, she's like, what are you apologizing for? Because you did nothing wrong, you know? And, yeah, what a weird non-breakup way. What a weird thing to tell.
Yeah.
Jessa. Yeah.
It was really weird because it didn't. It's not explicitly stated, like, I'm breaking up with you.
Yeah, doesn't he say, like, I'm going to help her raise this baby, not, like, I'm going to get back in a relationship with her and be the de facto daddy? Like,
yeah. You can still help raise the baby and not break up with Jessa.
Yeah.
So,
but
I
that's still going to be awkward as hell since they're not talking. So, yeah.
Yes, it is going to be awkward as hell. So, in Jess's side quest, she is on the phone with the cable company and she's yelling about she needs to get the premium channels,
she
blah,
says,
blah, blah.
Elite channels, you know.
Elite channels.
Yeah. Maybe that's how they call it overseas.
Possibly. Yeah. That is some kind of like marketing term bullshit that's like, oh, yeah, this is even better than premium. This is elite.
Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Like,
yeah, she just wants to vent some frustration out somewhere.
Yeah, I'm happy it didn't go further too, because I hate when people take frustration of other stuff out on like super low level employees. It's like,
yeah,
the biggest pet peeve of mine. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
So then she's like, "Hey, can you hang on a second?" And then she puts the phone down. She walks into the bathroom and just starts puking.
Yep. And from
this.
From TV and movies, I have learned that if a person coughs, they're about to die. And if a woman pukes in the toilet, she's pregnant.
Yep. That is exactly where my head went. I was like, oh, is she pregnant? And now she's going to be like, hey, you don't need to help Hannah raise her baby because you got to help raise ours, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Or they become like a big... bigamist
communal
family,
communal art, art commune. Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, is Jessa pregnant now? Yeah. Like, do not tell me that this is happening. Like, this show ends with all of the girls getting pregnant.
it's just Adam and Laird just like trying to like that I love Lucy with the like chocolates going across the conveyor belt, but it's just like babies and like trying to like, Marnie, you're pregnant too? Shoshana, when did this happen? Like, just
like, oh my God.
Abigail's just like, my water broke. And you're just like, what is going on?
They're all in the hospital at the same time giving birth. Good Lord.
Doctor passes out.
Oh, and it's Josh. He's delivering all the babies. Joshua. Patrick Wilson.
Joshua, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
Paul Luis busting the door later.
Yeah, busting the door with a bouquet of flowers. Yeah. I was wrong.
And I want to be with you.
There's waves in the Hudson that I could surf, right? Yeah.
I want to take care of Grover.
Grover and Sample.
Yeah. Oh my God. I want us to have that, and that's not going to happen.
Oh, that'd be so funny. Yeah. That'd be so much funnier than whatever's probably going to happen.
Just super slapstick.
Next time we see Jessa, she's with Laird and Laird's baby and. And we get some closure,
sure,
a little bit.
If you want to call it that.
We get a little bit of closure. Laird talks about how, Jessa brings it up about, well, I don't know who brings it up initially, but they're like baby talking, baby Sample being like, your mom ran away and she's never coming back. And then Laird's like, yeah, your mommy hates your daddy. She didn't want to be around him anymore. She's like...
It's one thing to hate Laird, but she's completely abandoned the child as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seemed like she was having postpartum symptoms. They didn't make it seem like it was, oh, she's just being flighty like she normally is. Like, it seemed like she needed help, and no one's trying to help her.
Dude, she's fucking gone.
Yeah.
She ran away. That's all the explanation we're going to get. This is the first reference to her since she left.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah.
What a loose end to tie up just with that.
I knew
it. Yeah, she ran off.
It was just going to be like a line set off screen or something. But this one on screen, but yeah.
Yeah. So then Jessa basically unloads all of her emotions on to Laird. Just being like, you know, she's upset that Adam's going to try and help Hannah raise the baby. And she's like, he's probably up there fucking making plans and scheduling stuff and having all these plans for this baby.
This Bolivian, and Laird's like, this Bolivian baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Jessa looks a mess right now. Like, she looks like she's on drugs or something. You know, like
that's what I thought.
I was like,
she looks
like she's using.
She looks like she does look like she's using again. But on the other side of things, she looked pretty fucking ripped too. Like her abs were.
Yeah, yeah.
She's also walking around in like just like a fuzzy bra and jean shorts.
To be fair, apparently there's a heat wave, and of course that's what she's gonna do. It's fine. I mean, that is Brooklyn. I've seen that every summer.
I have as well, but it's still like. Wow, that's a statement. Yeah. That's a statement piece right there.
In an episode that opens with a pregnant woman fully naked in her underwear. So it's just like,
just laying with like a bowl of ice around her.
I will say Laird's reaction to finding out that Hannah was pregnant was amazing. Like, he was stunned. Like, he was just like, what the fuck?
She's going to have a Bolivian baby?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. He felt hurt and betrayed, it seemed like. it was really interesting with the last scene of her throwing up in the toilet, and then she's here and she's playing with Sample and she's doing a bad job, and she's like, oh no, babies need like the smell strangers and hear loud noises and stuff. And it's like, oh, is that doubling down on her possibly trying to rationalize her being a mom now that she's pregnant, you know? That's how that scene kind of started for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. She's ranting about how like babies need to be around weird people because you don't want them to grow up to be boring Laird.
Yeah.
And she's like legitimately like trying to horrify Sample. Like she has her head down and she's just pops it up and screams boo in its face, and Laird's like, whoa,
yeah,
that was a little too much.
It's not the way to not the best way to play peekaboo.
No,
yeah,
absolutely not. So then hopefully she's not pregnant, because of what we see next. She's walking down the street smoking a cigarette, walks into a bar, and the bartender's like, hey, no smoking in here. And she's like, come on, Giuliani let us do it. And he's like, all right.
It's the weirdest reaction. Like, she gets in there and she says that. She says, I miss Giuliani. He would have let us do it. And the bartender looks at her like, all right, you can keep smoking. Yeah. And I was like, what? That's the people I wanted to see Ray interview. Like, these people have like some really dark things.
Yes.
And then she orders a seltzer. She doesn't order a beer or a drink. So that, I wasn't thinking so much about the cigarette, but I was thinking that she didn't order an alcoholic beverage. But I guess she is an AA too. So she's not using, so apparently she's not falling off the wagon, because that's what it looked like she was doing when she went into the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's those pregnancy hormones, Vance. I don't know. I don't know anything about the woman's body.
I'm going no comment on that on my end.
So at the other end of the bar, there is a mysterious man sitting there with a neck tattoo. He has a beer in front of him, just staring daggers into this beer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's day drink bar guy, you know? Like, it's, yeah.
That guy has definitely killed somebody.
he's seen some stuff. Who knows if he's been, yeah. if he's either been the victim of or the perpetrator of something, you know? So
he is. So Jessa sees this guy and she's like, oh, hunka bird in love right now. She puts the cigarette out in her seltzer, walks over to him, looks at him like with the come hither eyes, goes to the bathroom, opens the door, and then just stares at him until he looks up at her and then gives him the come hither eyes, and then goes into the bathroom. And then she's...
I was just thinking of the bartender who like just gave her the seltzer. She just threw out her cigarette in it. And now he's just going to have to stand at the bar while these people bang. And it's not like they're the only two people in yes. the bar. Like, it's not oh, I don't know what's happening. It's like, this is all he's seeing.
Dude, that's hilarious. That was your mindset. My mindset was, what a fucking lucky day for this guy. Like, the guy is just like, he probably just lost his job or something, or I don't know. He just saw his friend get murdered and he's staring into this beer. And then some hot lady in just a fuzzy bra and like Daisy Dukes just saunters over and she's like, basically, hey, you want to come fuck me in this bathroom after no words were said between you? And the guy's like, oh, okay. Like,
Joe, that's just par for the course if you were to drink. If you were a drinker, you would know about just going to a bar, getting a beer, and then that's it.
And then this is when I become an alcoholic.
Fans lied to me. This hasn't happened yet.
Oh, my God. I was just sitting there like, man, what a fucking great day for that guy. No words, no anything. Didn't have to put in any work. She just is like, hey, come fuck me in the turtlet.
Some people got it.
So then she's waiting in the bathroom for him and he comes in and he looks like he's going to stab her. Like,
it's not cool, man. None of this is cool.
He enters the bathroom looking maniacal and menacing.
Yeah.
And Jess is looking at him like, what's up, big boy?
Yeah.
And he walks over. They start making out. Jessa takes off her fuzzy bra and he's like sucking on her boob. And then Jessa starts crying. And then she says, I don't want you.
That's what she said, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're reading it with the captions.
Yeah.
It was hard to hear underneath the Ariana Grande song, Dangerous Woman. Yeah. Which is like, when this kicking in, I'm just like, all right, this is jamming, but what is happening? Yeah. Like,
yeah, dude, that song's got some fucking heat on it, dude. That song is great.
And it was not what I was expecting when she started crying. And yeah.
Well, I was confused because then we get kind of like a cut to her alone in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened? Did the guy just leave? What happened? According to Wikipedia, they did have sex.
Oh, okay. Because I wasn't sure if... I mean, that edit is so strange where it's like, did that guy even come into the bathroom? You know? Like,
yeah.
You could go back that way or they started to and then they didn't.
Yeah.
But I guess if Wikipedia is to be trusted, she had sex with him?
According to Wikipedia, that's what it says. Yeah.
Are we to assume that this guy would not take I don't want you as an answer?
I have no idea. It says that this is the sentence when talking about Jess's story. This is the only bit of like, you know, we're doing a full breakdown of Jess's story here. This is the Wikipedia version of her story. Adam asks Hannah if he can help her raise a baby. Despite her fear that Adam will leave her for good, Jessa offers no resistance and has sex with a stranger in a bar instead.
Yeah, I mean, that seems so vague, like, where if you're writing that, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's something that happened. And without actually thinking about whether or not that actually went through. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't.
Yeah.
She's
but
broken a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as when we get that cut to her alone in the bathroom, she's like doubled over crying her eyes out because, you know, she wants to be with Adam, I guess.
I guess. I guess.
And I think this is where we can hop off get on to Hannah's story.
Yep.
So, as we said before, Hannah's laying in her apartment, basically naked, just has underwear on with the ice water and heat wave. The air conditioning isn't working. Elijah comes in. He's like, "This is fucking crazy. It's so hot. I tried to fix the air conditioner with a screwdriver. It still didn't work." And then Hannah confesses that she's a little upset about how her phone call with Paul Louis went,
mm-hmm.
which we all knew.
Yeah.
But she's finally vocalizing it, being like, "I just didn't think it was going to be like that. And I thought that, you know, going through with this decision to have the baby would be simpler, but it's just so much more complicated." It's like, bro, how did you not realize that?
I had the exact same thought. I was like, what made you think, oh yeah, being a single mom, just based off of her list that she was making.
Yeah, I was going to say, go back and look at your list.
Like, what made you think this was going to be an easy decision? Like, I'm not even faulting her for making the decision, but just to think that it was going to be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, if you want to do it,
yeah,
by all means.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be easy. It's not easy when you have, when you've planned for it and you've had been married for, like, I have a friend that, you know, all his life, he's been wanting to be a father. Like, that's what his thing was. Mm-hmm. And then he got married and then they planned and then now they have two kids. And now all of the things that he posts on social media is like, being a parent is so hard. It's like, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
And that's like with help.
The way I always think about it is like, think about you being a kid and how you thought about your parents. Mm-hmm. And then if you're like past that level, you're like, oh yeah, having to deal with me, even if you were a good kid or not, is a lot. You don't think like, oh yeah, I got to pick them up from something, or I need to take them here, or we have to do this thing. And yeah.
So after her kind of pity party, Elijah is like, oh, all right, Hannah, I get what you're saying. I don't know of many doctors that would have an abortion this late into your pregnancy, but I could probably find two.
Yeah. Elijah's ride or die, man.
He's like, I will find you a black market doctor that will get that baby out of you.
He's like, Bill Harcourt has a connection. We'll be good.
Yeah, his connection, just give it to Dill.
Yeah, just punt that thing to Dill. No, Dill actually only wants a white baby, and her baby wouldn't be white per se.
Oh, wouldn't be white enough.
Yeah.
It's not pure enough.
He wants Dill. A purebred. Wow. Hey, that's his words, not mine.
So Hannah is then like, "What? I don't want to fucking abortion, Elijah. Go fuck yourself." Oh God. So then we see Hannah at a bodega and I thought that she was stealing a bunch of popsicles. It looked like she was reaching into the ice box and like putting them in her purse.
It is she's got her dress out and she's like putting them into her dress or onto her like using her dress as like a basket, basically like extending it.
Okay. Okay.
I don't understand why she's not just taking them out and putting them on the counter so that he can just bag them up. Like, the counter's right there. Like, it's not like she's in the back. And if anybody knows, like, these bodegas in Brooklyn, they don't really have carts, do they? Do they have carts? I don't think I've ever... I guess they do. Nah. Yeah, I guess they do. I guess the nice ones do have the little hand carts. Now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
I never use... I've never been in a bodega that had a cart, or I've never used a cart in a bodega.
No, there's those Kim's delis that have it. Mm. Yeah, it's weird. It's been a while since I've been to one of those. But yeah.
This is in Brooklyn, but I was thinking about the one that was on the corner of my street in Queens, and they didn't have carts.
So if you picked up anything more than like two things, like how would you carry it?
Dude, nobody's buying more than two things at a bodega.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of bodegas. Like, I don't really, yeah, I don't know how you would even carry a bunch of stuff. Like, you just grab a six pack or your one Poland Spring water. But they have a ton of stuff.
They have tons of stuff.
They have everything in those places.
But the people that are just like going into bodegas, like you buy one roll of toilet paper and you walk out because it's, and you're like, this will hold me over until I go to an actual grocery store or Costco or something.
Yeah. Anyway.
I've never gotten, yeah.
Anyway, she should have just been throwing them on a countertop, but it doesn't matter. Not a major part of the story.
Yeah. And then Adam sees her through the window and he's like, oh my God, I was looking for you. And she's like, why? And he's like, well, I've been thinking about your baby situation and I want to help you raise your baby. And she's like, are you serious? And he's like, absolutely.
Her reaction to that, I thought, was kind of perfect. Like, her face of like, I don't even know what to say to that. Yeah. Like, that's...
Yeah, she's so confused.
Yeah.
I also like that he comes in and he's like, I have to talk to you about something very important and I'd like to do it outside of here. And she's like, anything you have to say to me, you can say to my friend Amir, who is like the cashier at the bodega, I guess.
Doesn't even look up. And doesn't even flinch. The guy does not
sells her. Yeah. And then she says something about like, what do you want to make a sequel to your fucking movie about me that makes me look like a psychopath and doesn't even look like me and doesn't have my gravitas?
Yeah, she says like Zelda, like make me like an untalented Zelda Fitzpatrick or Fitzgerald, sorry, from like the guy that wrote The Great Gatsby. She was with her. There's a show on Amazon that I think Christina Ricci plays Zelda Fitzgerald in that. But it was interesting. The one thing I know is from seeing IMDb is that I don't think we hear about that movie ever again.
Like, are you serious?
Like, that girl that's that played her is only in two episodes. So,
well,
and I was like, what? They just made a movie for no reason, really.
I think it was, well, and like they were submitted at the film festival. You know, you think it'd get into one rinky-dink festival. Like, you can.
It would get into something. It's kind of long. It's kind of long for programming. They like to program a bunch of spots, and like having a 45-minute long movie in a shorts festival is, it's got to be good.
Yeah. You know what's weird is, and we've done a couple of 45-minute long movies for the Anime Movie Podcast, which Vance was a guest on recently. Vance was a guest on my other podcast, the Anime Movie Podcast, and we reviewed The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. But it is a very interesting length of time for a movie because it's not short enough to be a short film and it's not long enough to be a feature. And the thing that we've been watching recently and reviewed recently, the episode hasn't come out yet, so it's a couple weeks down the pipeline, but it's a compilation of three 45-minute movies. And I feel like that's the only real way to get that some traction, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, 45 minutes is an hour of TV with commercials, so roughly. So, yeah, I mean, you can tell stories in that time for sure. Yeah. And streaming now, it would be fine, but yeah. I mean, it's just interesting that they had this be a plot line for it maybe not to actually have any payoff. I mean, maybe it pays off and they mention the movie, but like the actress isn't in the episode or something. So I don't know.
Dude, do you think that this show's going to end with like those, like the walk down the street and then they freeze frame type deal? And then it'll be like, Hannah went on to blah, 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 blah.
No.
Adam went on to be an award-winning filmmaker. His movie, Full Disclosure, won the award at the Sundance, blah, blah. I think that the purpose of the movie was to reintroduce Adam and Hannah's relationship to us.
Yeah, good point.
Because there was that scene where she was watching it and she was feeling that kind of nostalgia. And now Adam he's been feeling the kind of the nostalgia after hearing about the baby. And he's like, we had some good times together. We should just fucking raise this baby together.
Yeah.
That was my thinking anyway.
Fair enough. Yep.
So, of course, Hannah and Adam fuck.
not even close to what I was expecting. Not even, like, I don't know why I wasn't expecting this, but I just wasn't. Like, it caught me.
I wasn't either.
It caught me so off. I was like, oh, they're going to go upstairs, and then they're going to have this great, like, verbal debate about whether or not he should be a part of this. And, like, it's going to be kind of fun to hear them go toe-to-toe and, like, him being, like, pleading and her being making, like, rational statements and then losing and then winning. Like, I was ready for that verbal jousting in the apartment while it's hot and him fixing the air conditioner, you know? I was all ready for that. But I was not ready for her to be riding him and them having sex and just being like, wait, that was quick that they got back together? Like,
yeah. See, at that point, I didn't even think that he and Jessa broke up yet.
No, they hadn't. Like... They had. He's like, I'm going to go talk to her about a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like smash cut to her riding his dick.
If you need a pickup line, it's let me raise your baby. Like that.
Oh, like, my God.
Like, I was like, wait, how does she go from I hate you, I'm over you, you're banging my former best friend to, all right, we're cool.
Yeah, we're cool. You want to be inside me?
Yeah. It's 120 degrees in here, but great.
Yeah. So then they do the talking while fucking thing. Adam's like, I feel like we have an audience.
I mean, yeah, here it's kind of valid.
Yeah. So then after they're banging, Adam's talking to Hannah's baby bump and he's like, oh, help me, Adam. My mom's so weird. You need to help me. And she's like, you think I'm weird?
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. About, like, they're kind of oddly perfect together, but also just, like, kind of the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Just keep them together. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe just bring Jessa.
I don't know at this
just,
point.
Just bring Jessa in too, so we can like keep them away from the real world. I don't. I don't want them affecting other people.
Yeah, I feel like this. I have no idea, but they hear a banging at the door, and then Adam opens the door for some reason. But before he opens the door, he screams, "What?"
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, "Why is Adam answering your door?"
Why is, number one, why is Adam answering your door? Number two, why is Adam just in his underwear? Number three, why is Hannah basically just in her underwear and Adam's going to open this door?
She looked and she's like, oh, okay, go answer the door. Like he lived there or something. Like, why would, no. And didn't you think it was Jessa coming up since she mentioned?
I did.
She mentioned she was just downstairs.
Yep.
Like, did she drive him over there? Like, how did
I thought it was good.
Like, how did they both end up at the same place at the same time? No.
I thought it was going to be Jessa coming up, see Adam in his underwear and Hannah basically naked and be like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? I thought that you were just going to help her raise the baby. And then Adam was like, no, that was me breaking up with you. Like, how did you not get that? Or blah, I don't know, some kind of miscommunication. But instead of that much better plot, Laird comes in.
And I was like, I knew it wasn't Jessa when he opened the door. Just because I was like, you're not opening a door if that's Jessa.
Yeah.
If it was Jessa and he opened the door, I'm like, what are you doing, Adam? Yeah. Like, you're a psychopath.
Yeah. So Laird comes in and he's like, I got it, Hannah. This is my calling. I should have known. I'm going to help you raise your baby. And then Hannah's like, no fucking way, Larry.
Well, she's just like, what? And he's like, she has the same reaction as when Adam did it the first time. Like, when Adam said it. It was like, what? Like, I was loving this, like, Three's Company random ass, like, old sitcom things of, like, I want to raise the baby now. And it's like, no, I want to raise the baby now. I was like, come on. Let's have Ray come over and say it. Like, let's just go down the line of everybody want to take care of this baby. And then Elijah storms in. And he's like, no, this is my baby. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's got a lot of people that want to raise this baby with her.
Just every male character in this show. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be the daddy to this baby. And then.
Oh, it's like, It's Always Sunny. Like, who got D pregnant? and they're all at the hospital. Oh, yeah. It's like all like every male character from the show over like 10 seasons.
Yeah, but then Laird lays out his plan and why he should help her. And it's like, this is the way the world works. This is a sign. I was meant to be a junkie to I could recover and then live here and then meet you and have our encounter. And then that not lead to where I thought it was going to lead. But then through that, I met Caroline. And then I had a baby with Caroline. She leaves. Now you're pregnant. I need to raise your baby.
And they just don't follow up on that at all. It's just a scene. It just is a funny scene, kind of, I guess. And we never... That's it.
Yeah, we see Adam just kind of staring at him like, what the fuck? And then Hannah's staring at him like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And you know Adam hates Laird. You know, he does. He has this weird feeling towards Laird. And I'm like, the next time we see them, they're just like out and about doing a walk and talk. Like Adam and Hannah. And I'm like, wait, why? Laird. Why are we, what about this Laird thing? Did you guys just kick him out? Like, that's it?
I do have to say, I think it is really cool that everyone is offering to help Hannah raise this baby. Like, I know that it's like really sitcom-y. It's like kind of three men and a baby type of deal. But it is pretty cool to be like, hey, if you need help, I'll be here. So Hannah's like, I'm so alone. This is going to be so hard. But there's at least three guys in this episode alone that are like, I'm down to help you raise the baby. Like, we got Elijah, Adam, and Laird.
Yeah, Elijah's like, whatever you want to do. If you want me to get rid of this baby in the eighth month, or if you want me to, or if you want to raise it, I'm down. But no, yeah, like, Hannah, you know, main character of the show is true, but like, she also has like people she can go to. Like, even like, if she called Ray, Ray would still help her. Like, Marnie and Jess and stuff, they don't really have people. I guess that's why it really hurts when they don't have Hannah, because, like, I guess Shoshana has Ray, but she really doesn't have anybody either outside of, like...
Good point. You know. Well, nobody that we really see anyway, because she's been in, like, you know, six episodes in the last four seasons.
I thought this season was going to have, and I don't want to go back into Shoshana much, I thought it was going to have something with her trying to figure out her work stuff, you know, like... After that network.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, last episode, they're going to freeze frame on everybody. Shoshana became the CEO of fucking Virgin Airlines or some bullshit. Oh, my God. If that happens, like, that would be so fucking
How does
funny.
Abigail show up and it's not an Abigail Shoshana story?
Dude, it's not. Shoshana has been kicked to the curb, dude.
Like, how does Ray just, like, hijack that?
Ray has replaced her.
Oh, wow.
anyway, we digress. Back to Hannah's story here. Like you said a little bit ago, Vance, the next time we see them, they're doing a walk and talk. And Hannah's like, so what made you lead to the decision that you're going to help me? And Adam's just basically like, well, I mean, I heard about the pregnancy, it really kicked the fire for you back up in my guts and my loins. And I wanted to help, and I knew that this was right. And she's like, well, yeah, but what about Jessa? And he's like, she was probably going to break up with me in like 4 months anyway. We did us both a favor by making this decision. And she's like, huh, okay. What was it like fucking Jessa? He's like, why would you want to know that?
Yeah, he's like virgin ears. Like, he doesn't want to talk about this. Like, he's the most prude person ever. After making that borderline porn of a movie. Like, he has some tact at that point for some reason.
I know.
And it's so funny that she wants to know what it was like to fuck Jessa. I was like, I've never heard you talk to Marnie about making out with her.
Like, maybe they never found out about that. Maybe that was just a secret between them.
Yeah, I'm like surprised Hannah and Jessa haven't made out at some point.
Dude, that was so long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Jessa was married to Chris O'Dowd.
Right. That was season one.
Wait, no, was it? But then Adam like relinquishes and he's kind of like, she laughs a lot. And she's like, what do you mean she laughs a lot? And he's like, she laughs a lot. And then Hannah just projects all of her insecurities onto it. I don't remember
she
what
was like,
she said.
Oh, she laughs a lot like a crazy person who's like, claims to like sex, but like is different because of her body and hair and shape or something. It was like something like that.
Yeah, she seems to be like such a sex vixen, but when it comes down to it, she's deeply insecure about having sex and she's not comfortable, so she laughs to cover that up.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, and way to fucking project like crazy.
And Ed was like, no, she laughs like a person that laughs. Yeah.
Oh yeah. My god, dude. So then it's a scene of them on a bench and Hannah's kind of unloading all of her worries about having a baby, and Adam's calming her down, just being like, dude, relax. It's going to be fine. Like, it's going to be awesome. I'll be here to help you, and you don't need to worry about a lot of this stuff. And And then he asks her, like, why do you want to have the baby? Which I thought was like, that's a great question. No one's really asked that. And her explanation is basically like, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you're invited to sleepovers and you're terrified of going over there because it's going to be a foreign place and, you know, you don't have your own bed or your own blanket, your own pillows. And then, you know, you keep getting asked to go to sleepovers and then eventually one day you're just ready. And that's kind of how she decided that she is ready to have a kid. And then Adam is like, I had a kid like that. His name was Joel. And I went over to his house and I was nervous and I thought I was going to puke. And then I puked and then I swallowed it.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened. she does mention that she's scared and that there's a bunch of, she gives a bunch of hypotheticals of like, and these are like things that writery people go through their mind all the time. Like, because I have this happen to me. Like, I can think of, like, horrible scenarios of stuff happening and just go down that rabbit hole in my mind. Like, she talks about, like, oh, what if I get sideswiped on the side of the road and the baby's in the backseat of the car and I go to the hospital, but they don't notice that the baby's back there and they send the car to the lot or whatever and they just
impound
don't
know. Lot or
yeah,
something.
They impound it. Or what if the baby's choking and I just think, because his big eyes are so cute, it's staring at me, and I don't think it's choking and it dies. Like, she goes on a tangent of these things, you know? And Adam's just like, no, it'll be fine. I'm here. And don't worry. Yeah.
That is a very nice, like, calming thing to just be like, yeah, you know all your worries? Yeah. That's probably not going to
happen. Just put
them
in my pocket.
Yeah.
I can't remember my keys. I don't know where my keys are, but I can... I can take care of a baby.
I don't know where my sister is.
Yeah, I've lost my sister and I don't have my keys. Oh my god, yeah.
And then also he just now notices that she's been drinking a green soda this whole time and he's like, "What? You're drinking a soda?" Yeah. She's got like 3 sips left.
Yeah.
And he finally realizes, "Oh, holy shit. You're drinking a soda. That's bad for the baby." And he takes it from her and drinks it.
Yeah.
She's like, what? That's my soda.
Well, and at this point, Lena Dunham does not have a kid in real life, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I got to say, the prosthetic for the stomach, great.
Yo, what if it's not a prosthetic and she just pooched out her belly?
Whatever they did, it works. No, because it seems because it doesn't seem like when you gain weight... you don't like, you can't target gain weight. Like,
yeah,
you can't target.
Yeah, I know.
Losing.
I was
yeah,
just.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be, that would be some Christian Bale level body morphing, you know?
That prosthetic is good because in that first scene when she's naked and lying down, I was like, oh, she's coming along.
Yeah. And they don't do that thing where it's just like she's wearing a dress and it's underneath. Like, she's fully topless. Like, she's just in underwear. And we forgot to mention. Elijah has a great line. It's like, why did you wait till you were pregnant to wear nice underwear?
Oh, yeah. Dude, Elijah's got some good underwear on, or it's like a Speedo or something.
I mean, if
it's
you
like tropical.
If you got a man or lady crush on Elijah, he is coming in hot and sweaty and glistening in that first scene.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Joe's still mad he doesn't have HD for that.
I know.
You might just have to get the Ultra 4K version just of that episode.
I'll have to buy the whole series on Blu-ray.
It's like you're going to petition your local theater to play last season just so you can see it on a big screen.
Dude, once could you imagine
back, it? Once we go back, you're
could
like,
you
no Marvel movies, just girls episodes, please.
Can you imagine if I bought the whole series on Blu-ray and like you just see that on my amongst my collection of like anime movies and anime series and then like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Futurama?
I love Aqua Teen.
And then just, dude, Aqua Teen's so great. And then just six seasons of Girls. This is the most random.
I know what gift I'm giving you.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It's the only way to wrap up this show is to give you the box set.
Yeah. So then Hannah and Adam are in like a hardware store or something shopping for baby stuff, like getting crib and a rocker. And Adam's talking about how like, hey, I can just build this stuff. Like it'll be better than having to buy it and have all these toxins around our baby. He says our baby.
Yeah. Which was scary to me.
Yeah. Step, big leap.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, yeah. And then Hannah zones out while staring at one of the boxes. And she's just like, oh, shit. The reality of all of this is crashing down on me. And she's kind of got like shell shock thing where like the whole world disappears around her. She can't hear Adam talking anymore. And then Adam like snaps her out of it. And he's like, what's going on? She's kind of like, oh, I'm just realizing how hard this is going to be. Etc.
Yeah, it was an interesting moment. Like, I mean, this is where the episode starts to make that turn into like a different place. And I mean, it's interesting that it's sinking in. I guess for the beginning of the episode with the Paul Louis thing, and Elijah laughs at Paul Louis' name just at the name alone, and just like, like it's really starting to settle in. Too, you know, it's really starting to sink in. And
well, at this point, she's had several months to let it sink in.
Which is interesting. I think once she had the phone call, that's when the phone call really triggered it. Like, okay, this is gonna be different, and now she physically looks different. Still doesn't feel bad about just banging Adam.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. Not yet, at least.
Nope. So then they end up at our favorite Kellogg's Diner.
My favorite diner.
Yeah. That's
what I have to say. Kellogg's Diner is fine.
It's definitely not my favorite.
it is,
but
a
we've referenced it.
Yeah, I know. It's
we've
a staple
it
of Brooklyn.
Several times.
Like it's right there in the middle of Williamsburg. Like,
yeah.
If you're going from Bedford towards
Graham,
it's right in the middle.
You go to Union Pool, and then you go to Kellogg's.
Yeah.
That's just the way things work.
Yeah, it's right there on that like triangle of the BQE overpass, and just it's you're gonna drive past it if you're there. So
yeah, dude, it's not the greatest, but you know it.
They have a lobster tank in there, which I always thought was interesting.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, there's always a lobster tank. I don't know who's ordering live lobster there, but yeah.
So they're having food and kind of discussing their future together, and it gets so weird and sad. So they're talking about like, oh well, I'm fine giving up my apartment. Adam's like, yeah, it's been a month to month. I can just give up my apartment. And then I was like, you've been living there for 8 years. It's a month to month. He's like, it's a good deal. She's like, yeah, I guess I could give up my apartment too. Elijah's going to probably be wanting to do his own thing, and he doesn't want to have a baby cramp in his style. And then Adam's like, well, we can just find a place on Craigslist. It'll be pretty easy. There's no broker fees for a lot of these places. And I also know of a Facebook group that has housing for creatives, and it really helps out. And Hannah's like, this is sounding pretty good. And then he's like, Yeah, it seems like they really like prefer to have married couples, so we'll have to probably get married to make that work out. And then that's when things start to like crash on Hannah.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I guess I'll join like a co-op or whatever. And then there's just like this stunned silence. And Hannah just starts crying her eyes out.
Yeah.
And it was so sad.
Yeah, it's a lot of like lip quivering. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I don't 100% know what to think of it yet.
Well, let me tell you what Wikipedia thinks of it, Vance.
Well, people are listening. I was also people are tuning in to listen to hear what we have to say. Or they actually do want us to read the internet to them. Let's go ahead.
So, after appearing to have reconciled, Hannah starts making plans for raising the baby with Adam. However, by the day's end, both have come to the realization that their enthusiasm for their relationship has already gone and end up returning home separately.
Yeah, because they do end with Adam. Adam's acting in the scene is very perfectly understated, you know? Like, he's reacting to it, but he's not going full big. And he asks, like, oh, what is your plans after this? And,
yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to go home and write and then probably go to sleep.
Yeah, it is like Adam sees her crying and he knows what's up immediately. Mm-hmm. And he's just kind of like, this isn't ever going to work.
Nope.
And then he's like, so what are you up to the rest of the night?
Mm-hmm.
Just going to go home and write, probably go to sleep. How about you? Probably just going to go grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of sit there. And
he takes a bite of, like, they both have a bowl of soup. Yeah. Like, just straight broth looking soup. And he takes a spoonful of, like, good soup.
Yeah. Gives him the okay sign.
Yeah.
Good soup.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was, the ending of this kind of feels a little bit like the episode where Marnie and Charlie get back together. It's like just that one fleeting last hurrah of them hanging out, hooking up, and then knowing that nothing's coming from it, you know?
It's one of those, like, we had so many good times, you forget all the bad times mm-hmm. and why it ended. Mm-hmm. And then when you hang out with that person again, you're like, oh,
yeah,
this is why.
Yeah, I think at this point, I guess if you go back, she was just happy to have Adam be a person saying, oh, I want to help you, when mm-hmm. the actual father was like okay with being on the side. Like, here was a mm-hmm. person in Adam who didn't have to do this, that's going out of his way to be helpful and nice to you. So she's at that vulnerable state where, okay, yeah, now I guess I want to do this now, you know? And then as the day goes on, there's not a clear delineation of why she's off of Adam when she seemed to be on him at the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, but it's fine. I mean, maybe she just realizes that them getting married and living together is just like, just not it.
I know where the clear delineation is. It's when he stole her soda.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to have to go.
She's like, this motherfucker is stealing my soda. Can't drink. I'm a grown fucking woman.
I'm going to have pregnancy cravings. And he's going to be like, no, you can't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not our baby, Adam.
Yeah.
So then, Adam, I love this opening to this scene. Adam stumbling home, not stumbling, but like sadly walking home, just says, shit. Because he doesn't have his keys to get back to his apartment with Jessa. Calls Jessa. And he's like, hey, are you home? She's like, yeah. He's like, come to the window. Comes to the window and he's like, if I buzz, will you let me in? She's like, yeah. And she's super happy that he came home.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I guess this is my life, I guess. And then...
yeah, they had to just go out and bang a stranger or someone that they'd known a long time and then come back together. Yeah.
They had to get some strange.
Yeah. He's probably gonna propose to Jess as soon as he gets upstairs.
Oh, gee, yeah, probably. And then this is where we get the scene of Hannah just lying awake in bed, and we get a slow zoom in on her eyes of her just being like, oh my fucking God, all these fears are back.
Well, you know what was interesting? When that was happening, this carousel music, carnival type music was playing, and for some reason I was like, is that the music from the cartoon of Ray's Russian cartoon playing behind it? Like, I thought it was like that because I didn't know they were going to cut to him being on a carousel with Abigail at that point.
Yeah. And that's the episode.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts here, Vance?
Well, not on the episode. I do have one thought. When Adam says to Hannah that, oh, Jess was just going to break up with me in 4 months or so, it's a really flippant like way of being like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. Like, yeah. there was no indication that Jess was ever planning on leaving him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll say is we're coming close to the end of this, the season of Girls, the series of Girls. And,
yes,
we have some like episodes planned for post final one. And, we kind of want to do a little Q&A mailbag thing. So I urge any of our listeners that have any questions of previous episodes or something, you know, to like write in. If we've missed something that you are like, what are you talking about? You guys completely blew it, or stuff about like Marnie's cat. Of like, where did that cat ever went? Like, if you have any questions or nagging questions from the series, like write in at boyswatchinggirlspodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us. Let us know. And we'll try to compile those and do a little mailbag at the end of the season.
Yeah, or if there's anything that we missed, or like you're like, I wish you had talked more about X.
Mm-hmm.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
So that is the episode on, what is this called again? What Will We Do This Time About Adam?
Why is it this? Okay, whatever.
What will we do this time about Adam? It's such an awkward phrasing, dude. I hate that sentence structure so much.
It's
like I've worked as a writer for several years, and this just bothers me so much. But anyway, stay tuned for our next episode when we talk about Goodbye Tour. That's the title of the next episode.
Oh, no. Are Marnie and
Desi?
Who
do you think is goodbye?
Are Marnie and Desi going on a tour?
Or is Marnie saying goodbye to all of the other girls because she's moving back in with her mom?
Well, she's already lived with her mom before. I mean, it's just Long Island.
Yeah.
Maybe she
should. How are they going to wrap this up?
Is
like, I thought that we were going to get like some solidific conclusion with Hannah. Like, oh, okay, Adam's going to help her and they're back together or something.
Yeah, I'm happy. I will say this. I am happy that they're not back together.
Yeah.
Because I think that's not like last season ended in a way where it's like her not being with Adam is the right move.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I like Adam with Jess per se, but.
They have 2 episodes left to wrap this up, and I have no idea.
I'm honestly, I kind of love I have no clue. I love that I have no clue, but it also makes me a little anxious.
Well, I know that we got a comment on one of our episodes or something about how one of our listeners thought that the finale of season 5 should have been the end of the series. And I obviously we haven't seen the last episode of this yet.
Yeah.
But I think that we know that it's left some people not satisfied. So I am very curious to see how this ends.
Yeah.
Like, what if it ends on a cliffhanger and they're just like, no, you're not renewed.
It's just a close up and someone's like, what the fuck? And you're like, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Or it ends with just someone being like, yep, that was Girls.
The only way to save this series is if they freeze frame and give them what they did after.
Shoshana went on to run a Fortune 500 company and is the most successful woman in the 30s.
Like, all of them somehow become wildly successful. Marty went on to have 800 number one smash hits with her mom as the Marty or the Michael sisters.
Hannah's written 17 books.
Yeah. She's beaten J.K. Rowling as the best-selling female author of all time.
Ray died in a coffee truck accident when Abigail tried to perform a Hannah on him.
Fellatio.
He never learned how to keep his eyes open.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we'll see you next time for when we talk about the episode Goodbye Tour. See ya.
What's it like to fuck Jessa?